Let's start this Shaila, and you'll see where I'm heading with the side topic that we're discussing over here in Hilchos Mazik. We have a malit, a lift, an elevator, and five people enter into the elevator, and it can hold five people. They press the button of the elevator to go to the fifth floor. On its path, it stops at the second floor. Two people are waiting to enter. The contents of the elevator say, well, there's no room. This elevator can only hold five people. They answer, say, don't worry, we'll make room. They enter into the elevator, and the doors close automatically, and it starts rising to the fifth floor. It never gets there. And it stops in between the fourth and the fifth floor. The fire brigades have to be called in, and to extract the people, and the lift needs to be repaired. Why is the lift broken? Because the lift can only take five people, and there was seven people in.
Is that by then what the cause was?
Yes. So the question now is, who's liable to pay for the cost of fixing the elevator?
I would say the manufacturer.
Says clearly, signed, only five people can hold the lift. Why would you?
No, that's what it says. But there's supposed to be a safety mechanism that won't allow the lift to go anywhere if there's too many people in it. So the fact that it isn't there was negligence on the part of the manufacturer.
No, it's negligence. Come on. It's not negligence. It's like having insurance. It's like if you have it, it's very good. But if you don't, then the negligence is clearly on the people who are in the lift. So obviously, that's the negligence. Clear sign, five people, they were warned, this is not a lift for more than five. They said, don't come in, too many people here. And they still went in. And the Shaila now, who's liable to pay?
Five people in the elevator said to come in? Or they
no,
said,
they said don't come in. Don't come in, there's not enough room here.
And they came in anyway.
And they came in. So the Shaila is, who's liable to pay?
Two people will join.
So that was what we would like to say. Let us try and mavara if is it true afi lafi halacha. What exactly is the nature of this damage? Under what category does the damage enter? Does it come on to Adam HaMazik? Does it come on to Bar? Does it come on to Eish? Does it come on to Momon HaMazik? Under what category can we define the damage which happened to this elevator through the fact there were too many people in the elevator?
I assume the people entering, the last people, were not the ones to push the button.
They didn't push the button.
So it's at worst a grumma. So the only thing you really can your hat on is maybe H.
So let us define what H is. And maybe it's called, maybe we can define this H. First, Maramokum. The famous Gemara, Avina, Sakina, Masoi, Shaniyah, Baroshagat. You leave a stone, a knife, on top of the roof. But not the Baruch Masur came along a wind and made it fall, the Hezika, and that caused damage. That stone caused damage. Hey, if it caused damage as it's flying through the air, Hainu Ish, it fits into the category of Ish. So, therefore, I would like to define was what went over here was Ish. Why? Because we have people moving to the elevator. What's causing damage to the elevator? It's the weight of the seven people. The elevator can only hold five. The weight of the fact that seven people in the elevator is what caused damage to the elevator that no longer works. How did that weight cause the damage to the elevator? if it would have stayed stationary, no damage to the elevator. What made the elevator break? The fact that it started moving with a weight of 7 people. Therefore, I would like to compare that to Esh. That the weight of the people is what damaged the elevator, but what made it damage? The fact that it was moved, the elevator started moving, now the weight of those 7 people caused damage to the elevator. So therefore, it wasn't their direct, as Matis pointed out, it wasn't the fact they entered the damage elevator. If it would stay stationary, no damage to the elevator. But now that it's moving up, with the pressure of going down at the same time as moving up, and that 7 people is pushing down as the elevator is going up when it can only hold 5, it's the combination of moving up with their weight which damages it. So therefore, it's like fire, you created something dangerous, and it was moved by the wind to actually cause the damage. So here also, the weight is dangerous, and it was moved by the elevator itself to cause the damage to the elevator, and therefore, I would like to compare it to Aish. Are you happy with this comparison to the category of Aish to say that it's higher?
So I think it's called Chacher. I think it was only programmed from up to the 5th floor. There, it was only holding the maximum weight. It was 2 people's weight on top of a maximum load elevator that's already programmed to the 5th floor. That is direct. I think that's
direct.
Yeah,
you think it's direct?
Direct.
Yes. They're adding weight.
But the elevator wasn't going anywhere when they
got on the
horse.
The case of age
puts
is
a 10,000 pound
load. What's the case of age?
And the horse takes a step and of course can't carry 10,000 pounds. He's putting you sound. Well,
the horse doesn't have to take a step for it to collapse.
It was already programmed. The elevator was going to the 5th floor.
That's why he threw off.
If the animal, in your case, would have stayed still, it would have also collapsed. Just maybe taken a few seconds longer. And therefore, in that position, I agree with you. You put 10 tons on an animal, of course it's direct damage, and whether it moves or not, it's going to be damaged. But here, the elevator would not get damaged if it started moving. What made it move? The program. The program made it move. But that's like, and what's H? And what's H? H is, there's a huge hurricane wind blowing out there, and you put a fire.
This is the elevator itself.
You put fire into the wind, and for sure it's going to damage, it's going to blow.
There's nothing.
It's programmed already in the world that's going to damage.
It's in the world, but it's not in the fire. Here, it's in the elevator. One is Koch Acher, this is Koch Shalom, this is Koch Bifni, this is not Koch Acher.
But the elevator is the one that's the elevator is the one causing the damage.
The elevator didn't cause the damage, it was damaged.
So Koch Acher,
no,
the
if
weight,
the elevator
the
didn't move, there would be no
human
damage.
Beings, when they walk into an elevator, are considered part of the elevator? They're not called parts of the elevator. They're a separate intrinsic entity in themselves. They walk in, they're called the damage. You walk into an elevator which goes on hold 5, you have
direct.
7 people, they are now they are causing the potential damage. It's only potential. It only starts moving, then it causes damage. I would say that's very comparable to the concept of age. I create something very dangerous in a place where it's for sure going to move and create problems. That's called age.
It's not Koch Acher.
Koch
Acher.
This is called
Shalom.
No, it's called Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
He didn't even press the elevator.
So the elevator's higher.
Okay.
So the elevator's higher. But it's, you're saying it's the Koch of the elevator that was the problem, not the Koch of the Mazik.
No, the Mazik put weight on an elevator that's about to go.
And you put a fire in the wind which is about to go.
In the wind. That's the wind.
The elevator is a Koch Acher to the person. I'm afraid. A person is not the lift. There's a person and there's a lift. It's not. There's a different Koch. It's programmed, like you said, but wind is also programmed. Okay. What I have a Shiloh. And this is the Shiloh of. I just want to say a statement. The Shiloh which I want to discuss tonight is, can a human being in himself be Aish?
We said it's the wind.
Can a human being himself be Aish? We've discussed that the human being up to now in the human stream can be the wind for Esh? Can the human being himself be considered in the category of Esh, to therefore machayvim because of Esh? He is the Esh. That's how we discuss. No, there's the salt, which is the Esh, and the human being is the wind. Now we're discussing a new topic, a new subtopic. Can the human being himself make himself into an Esh and be chayvim because of Esh?
Why would you say no?
I think you can.
That makes it worse, not better.
Going back to your comparison, perhaps one could argue the opposite way, saying overloading an elevator happens all the time. I mean, I see all the time, at least, in my, you know, my limited statistical analysis, I see elevators that have shines. Right, and it doesn't usually wake. Meaning, I've been to many elevators that says maximum of 5 or 10, and you've got 15 people there, and it's going up and down. So, you might say it's less ish, or less like wind, than a regular wind would be.
But which is more a fair warning. Then you're making a calculator risk.
Everybody's going to question.
You're making a calculator risk.
That's what you're saying.
Joseph, you wanted, you understand the case. You're talking about
statistics,
case.
Statistics.
Where the elevator was holding five people.
Elevator
was holding five people, which is the maximum. As it was going up to the fifth floor, it stopped on the second floor. Two more people said, we want to come in. He said, no, it's too many. They said, we'll make room. They went in, started moving up, and got stuck between the fourth and fifth floor. And now, five brigades have to extradite them, and now you have to fix the lift. We want to know who's high. So we're suggesting at this stage that the weight of the people which breaks the lift, only breaks when it's moving, because if it was stationary it would not break, is considered H, and the wind is the movement of the lift.
It's a sign it must be H. The fire brigade had to get the lift.
A wonderful proof for Eric. Okay. Now the sign is, can a human being be Esh? You know what? I've got a Farish, Nandan, who says yes. Let's look at the second Maram of In the Choptes Omet Aleph, and Choptes Omet Aleph, over there, the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara discussed like this. Nishmer Kadzo Berushus HaRabbim. You're walking along quite happily, and you're holding your cup, your vase, and you break it in Rosh Hashanah. Something else comes along and he slips on the water from your vase, or he breaks himself, damages himself on the vase pieces which itself, you're not required to pay. Says the Gemara, what's the case? It's actually a Gemara that says it's a machlokus. Whether you're chayav or not, or what's the chayav? Machlokus. Machlokus were that you tripped, and as you tripped, you yourself fell onto somebody's vase. That's how the Gemara understood the case. And are you chayav or not? It's a machlokus. Why? Because it's a shaila. Whether tripping is negligence, if tripping is negligence, and you fall onto the vase by tripping, then you're chayav to pay for the vase. If tripping up is not negligence, and you fall onto somebody's vase, then you're not chayav to pay. Says the Ramban, I don't understand. Even if you say that tripping is not negligence, but if you're in the category of Odom HaMazik, you're chayv even to your owners. So even if tripping is an onus and you've fallen someone's vase, why are you potter, says the Ramban? You're an Odom HaMazik, and Odom HaMazik's chayv even the onus, says the Ramban. Says the Ramban, you know why? If your owner's over here, you're not going to be chayv, because it's not Odom HaMazik. You tripping and pulling on the vase is Esh. You're tripping up, and the trip is considered the wind making you move, and therefore your body who breaks is the fire which breaks the vase. And therefore, if it's in the category of Esh, automatic chayv onus, but Esh is not chayv onus. Esh is only chayv your negligence. So therefore, if tripping is negligent, then you're chayv mishum Esh. dripping is not negligent, then you're not going to be chayav, because here's a see from this Gemara, the way the Ramban learns, that the Chotem himself, who damages through another force, says the Ramban, that's called Eish and not Otzem Amazik. So we've got a proof from the Ramban that the human being himself can be a fire.
Yeah.
The Koach Acher is the trick. It's the trick.
But what is the trick? Because the guy was walking, he fell, it's only him. There's no Koach Acher. He was walking, he fell on something. There's only he. There's no trip. The trip is the trip is.
I'll let Matzis answer that. I know that Matzis will be able to answer that. The tripping, yes?
The tripping was caused because he slipped on the water that spilled.
Yeah, he slipped on
the water that spilled.
My kid said, the milk spilled. No, you spilled the milk. The milk didn't spill.
And what you made you spill? And what made
broke.
You spill?
No, you broke the glass.
What made you spill? Either the stone which you didn't see, or the liquids
stone.
That you didn't see.
If it's a stone,
and therefore,
if the stone is a bore, so I'll put it down, it's a bore. You fell on the bore. You fell. You caused your...
That's what I'm saying.
No, I was
negligent.
He was
in not seeing the wind.
I was not responsible.
Then you're going to be fired for yourself.
The wind is a car that moves something.
What made... So what made the autumn move? What made the autumn move?
Himself made himself move.
No, he would never have landed on that vase over there if it wouldn't be for the stone propelling him to that position.
The stone didn't propel him.
Yes, to that position.
Stones do not propel.
And you're negligent for not seeing the
stone. That's not physics. A non-moving stone does not propel anything.
It does.
The person, it changes his...
Yes.
His
trajectory. Yes.
Okay, but he...
It changes his trajectory. That's already called Koch Acher. That's the Chiddush of the Ramban. That's already Koch Acher. Doesn't mean a Koach.
If someone...
The Koch Acher doesn't mean a Koach. It means there's another part.
Someone's driving a car, bangs into the wall, and then hits something else. You're saying that the wall caused the damage. It was Koch. It was Eish. It was him. He banged into the wall. He ricocheted off the wall, and he hit. And it's another car.
That's if he wasn't. If he was supposed to hit the wall, then you're right. Because I'm hitting it. It's like hitting the wall. The ball off the wall, like in squash. Then of course I'm trying to get it over there. And good. That's all my car. But if I'm not deciding to go there at all, but something pushes me over there.
It doesn't push the wall. Doesn't push.
Yeah, not the wall push. Something pushed me into the wall. Then that's called a kohaka, another force involved.
Nothing pushed him into
not
the wall.
Me.
He, that's what I'm saying. Nothing pushed him to the wall. He went into the wall. He went onto the wall.
Okay.
I think instead of translating Koach Acher as another force, translated as another factor.
That's what we should do. We have to put into categories.
Himself.
And he says the Ramban, the ancient gods are subject to its classic attribute. It can be extended.
Why
it has to extend it to this extent.
Where do you see that it has to be a wind? Where do you have to see? Where do you see that has to be a wind, though?
Okay.
I know
Shmuel doesn't agree with me, but I've got someone on my side, the Ramban. The Ramban, that's how the Ramban understood that it came into a category of edge, based on his kasha. If it'll be an onus, then you would be potter unless it's edge, otherwise it's automatic. It should be fine. We'll come back to you. We're not far off at the end if we ever get there to a discussion about this again. Okay, so at this stage, we're saying there's Eish in the lift. The weight of the people is the Eish, the movements of the lift is the wind, and therefore the damage is caused by the weight. Now, who's Chayv? Who's Chayv?
Well, either the last person to get on or the last two.
Who's Chayv? Five people went in.
Everyone.
On floor zero.
No.
Perfectly okay for the lift. Floor two, another two entered, being warned. There's no room over here. Sign up. Only five people can be in the lift. Don't worry, we'll make room. They entered. The lift continued on its journey without anyone pressing, because it had already been pressed beforehand on floor zero to go up to a higher floor. And it closed and went up. Who is liable now for the damage?
in the first person.
The weight is the ace, but whose weight that
is? Yeah, but he may not have been the one that caused the damage.
How do you
know? You don't.
Now, let me ask you a mathematical question. I know people haven't gone back to school for many years, and maybe a difficult maths question. Let me ask you like this. Seven people break the lift. Does two people break lift?
No.
But six people.
Does five people break lift?
No.
You, in order to break the lift, you need the weight of combination of 5 plus 2.
Or five
so
plus
if
one.
You're asking me what broke the lift, seven people's weight broke the lift. I can't say two people.
It's the straw that broke the camel's back. They're the ones that caused the problem. The
maybe
other five people
guy.
Were
maybe
not obligated to get off
that's
the elevator.
That's saying two cars need a head-on collision. One drove like a machine gun into the other. Two cars make a head-on.
And all to answer Eric's question, a very good excellent question. You're coming up with wonderful questions. All to answer your question, let me add something to the story. Two walked in, and then an argument started, Reggie. Hey, it's dangerous. Can't be in here. It's too many people. Everyone had the opportunity to get out before it went up. Nobody got out.
It doesn't matter.
That's the fact that the five who had the opportunity to decide to leave did not leave means that they have put themselves now into the negligence
they were shaved,
of breaking
they were
the lip through their lip.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They had every right to be there.
They have every right to be there, but they know what's going to happen.
Doesn't
maybe.
Matter. They're not
mechuyev. They're the ones shouting. It's dangerous. And so they just move out.
They're not mechuyev to make it safe. They have no chiyev to make it safe. They have no chiyev to make it operable. What?
You know what? You know what? Eric said the right words.
What?
Eric said the right words. They're also negligent, but not as negligent as the other two. That
I
is,
disagree. I don't think they're negligent at all.
Eric, very impressive.
I don't think they're negligent at all. They may be stupid, but they're not negligent.
Now, so what's the halacha? When you have two parties involved in breaking a certain item, where both are negligent, just one is more negligent than the other. Is the halakh in such a case that everyone has to pay, because at the end of the day, there's everyone's negligence, just one's more? Or is the halakh is the one is more has to take the whole responsibility?
It's not just the one's more. One is doing a maisa, one shave al tasa.
The other one is also doing a maisa by keeping his weight in. He's keeping his weight in.
They're not moving. There's no maisa.
He's keeping his weight in, as we'll get there in 3 weeks' time. You'll see that's maybe also called a maisa. He's keeping his weight in. Okay. So, let us discuss the case, next case. On this item, I will refer back to our first, second case. Okay. We're in a Beit HaKnesset. And lightning from the turret, the Baal Korah is a good Baal Korah, but he has the habit, because he pronounces the words very clearly, he's very muppet in pronouncing the words very clearly, he has the habit ever so often of letting go some of his lok, his spit, out of his mouth. So that's what happened this time. He was reading for the Torah, the Baal Korah. He's reading, pronounces the word very clearly. Some rope comes out, lands on the Sefer Torah. Okay? He sees it. He sees it. He knows it's there. And he doesn't do anything about it. And it's not actually causing damage at the moment. Pause. It's in between the margins. It's not on the actual writing of the letters of the Sefer Torah. Now somebody gets called up for Hagbah v'Galilah. Shimon gets called up for Hagbah v'Galilah. Shimon's in charge of doing Galilah. Hagbah's up. And now he does Galilah. Because he's doing Galilah and he's closing the Sefer Torah, the rope moves onto the letters and damages the letters. And now there's a tikkun to the Sefer Torah that needs to be done, which is go through a cost of payment for the actual repair of the Sefer Torah. The question asked to Rabbi Yashin, who is chayiv to pay for the tikkun of the Sefer Torah? Is it the Baal Korah who let loose his rope Or is it Shimon who did Galilo who moved it onto the letters, which damaged the letters?
Did Shimon know that there was...
Shimon did not know, he's just doing Galilo and closing it. Doesn't know.
So he's certainly not Chayav. He's certainly not Chayav.
He knows it's going to be Galilo. He saw it. He knows it's going to be Galilo. Right? So he's Chayav.
He's saying it's Galilo.
He's Chayav.
Shimon's the witness. Shimon's the witness.
He's experienced Balkura. He knows what he does, and he should have a tissue in it all the time.
It's ugly, Balkura.
Okay. So let us say.
In a place where the wind is going to cause further damage afterwards, but it knows it's going to happen.
Okay. So let us relate this to Gomorrah. Gomorrah in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph and Baba Kama. And we'll get to the Pesach of Rabbi Yosef. Hamatzniyah ketzosov v'zuchusti yosov l'tov kosel shachaveh. Somebody hides. He hides inside somebody's wall, some broken shards of glass, inside the wall. Nobody can see it. Not his wall. Ubar balakosa, come along Reuven, the owner of the wall. Vososakosa knocks it down, knocks the wall down. It's his wall, he can knock it down. The north wall, the reshusa labim viziku. And the wall fell in, not only the wall, but the shards of glass fell in to the Rosh Hashanah and caused damage. Says the Gemara, Chayev Hamatzniya. Who's Chayev? The one who broke the wall, the other wall? Or the one who put the shards of glass? Says the Gemara, the one who put the shards of glass is Chayev. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shonu Ela Bekosu Re'uah. That's only true if it was a rickety, weak wall when the person put the shards of glass there. Says the Rosh, why? Because he knows if you put shards of glass in a wall which is shaky, then you know it's going to be knocked down sometimes, so you know it's going to, this glass is not in the same place, it's going to be moved by the wind, so to speak. It's going to be moved by somebody who's going to knock it down. So you who put the glass there are responsible now for the damage. That's only if it's shaking. Avo b'kosov ria. But when you put the shards of glass in, it was a perfectly strong wall that there was no reason to suspect that the wall would ever be knocked down in this state. Hamatznia potter. Then the one who's potter is the one who puts the shards of glass there. But the chayev balakosov, then the one who's chayev is the owner who knocked down the wall into Rishus Rabim. So, says Rabbi Yochel, which is halacha, that depends. Sometimes the one who puts the glass there is chayav, when he knows it's going to be moving into a dangerous place, into a shaky wall. But if he doesn't put it into a shaky wall, a healthy wall, then the one who's chayav is the one who knocks it down, says Tosus. I got a question, says Tosus. Bitoba Tosuru Nami Boila Suki Etati Shemat Siim Shom. Why does the Baal, you're telling me that is negligence in the owner of knocking down the wall into Rosh Hashanah, and there is negligence, otherwise he wouldn't be chayav. If it's a healthy wall, then we say he's chayav, must be his negligence. So even if he knocks down a rickety wall, he should also be chayav. Because he should be worried that maybe Shem Asir Shokesh Yibori, maybe somebody put their shards of glass when it was a healthy wall. If we're saying there's always negligence involved by the owner knocking it down to Rosh Hashanah, so why is he off the hook when somebody puts in their shards of glass when it was shaky? No, it's still negligence on behalf of the owner, because he should think maybe somebody put there when it wasn't shaky, when it was healthy, and therefore he's negligent in knocking it down. Says Tosis an answer. Yeshoma to Mekomokum. The one, if it's rickety wall, if he puts the shards of glass in the rickety wall, he is more, this is how the Chazanish explains these words, he is more negligent than the owner in such a case. And therefore, since he's more negligent than the owner in that case, the person who's more negligent has to pay. Says the Chazanish, we see a sod from the Tosis, that you have two people who are negligent. In the case where one is more negligent than the other, the one who pays is the one who's more negligent, and the other one is off the hook. And that's the reason why the shards of glass were placed in a rickety, shaking wall. The one who's high, the one that put it there, even though the one looking down is also negligent, but he's less negligent.
Is the one that's off the hook, even if the first guy skips down?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Says the Rosh, and the Chazanish explains over there, that the Chiv over here, the one who put the shards of glass, is Eish. And in Eish, the one who's more negligent, out of the two parties, is considered the Eish, and the one who's less negligent is considered the Wind. So we have over here a Yesod from Tosis, that more negligent, rather there's less negligent, even though both are negligent, the one who's more negligent is. Now, let me ask you a question from the Pesach Halacha of Shulchan Aruch and tell me whether I've got now a problem. Says the Shulchan Aruch number 5, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Hamatznia ketzotzov zuchuz betokos shokhoi. Talking about our case in the Gemara over here. Somebody put shards of glass on one's wall. Then the owner came knocked it down. But not from Shusharab in the Hizik. And it fell down and it broke. It damaged. In Kosarua, if it's a rickety, shaky wall, Hamatznia Chayev. The one that put it there is Chayev. Like Akamor, like Rabbi Yochanan. In Kosarua, Bala Kosarua, if it was healthy, then the other Kosarua is Chayev. Very good, so far okay. But the Ramah adds from the Muki Yosef and the Tor, Bimizika Bishas the Fila, but if it damages the shards of glass as it's flying through the air, through the actual hitting down of the wall, Yeshomen says to the Muki Yosef, Balakosa Chayev Bachol Inyan, then the owner of the wall is going to be Chayev under all circumstances. If it, he knocks it down, and as the falls, it will shards of glass are flying through the air, then it doesn't matter that the one who puts it there is more negligent than one breaking it down, but if it damages as it's flying through the air from him knocking it down, then he's going to be chayev under all circumstances. So let's now relate it to our Sefer Torah. Somebody puts the shards of glass on the Sefer Torah, called the roke, in a position where it knows it's going to move. That's what Galila is, you know, you're not going to leave it there. And then somebody does Galila afterwards, and it damages the shas. It's moving, it damages. Do we therefore have a machlokus whether the one who puts the rope, the balkura there, is chayv not? Is it dependent on this machlokus between Tosis and the Muki Yosef, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that according to Tosis, and of course the one who's not negligent that everyone puts out is the balkura? Or according to the Muki Yosef, okay, but it doesn't help if it damages at the time it's moving, then the one moving it is going to be chayv, because he's the one that's called Odin and Nazim.
There's no Baal Sefer Torah here. The Golo is not the Baal Sefer Torah.
He doesn't even know that there's rope there.
It doesn't have to be the Baal.
No, maybe even
it doesn't have to be. He's the one moving it.
Maybe the Rebbe's finish is only on.
What's the Baal Kosa? So what's the mind of Baal Kosa? Baal Kosa means that he has perfect rights to do it.
He had rights and achrayas.
No.
He knows when he's knocking, damage can happen. The Baal, the Glila, doesn't know that. The Baal Kosa knows that. Maybe he doesn't know about the Matsniya Devarim, but the wall itself can do damage. You have to be careful when knocking your own wall down. He's got permission. But the Baal Lila does not know that.
So therefore, what are you saying?
The Ramaz finish is only by a Baal.
Here at all. So
very good. So Rabbi Yashiv said like this. You're correct, if the Baal HaGlila is anyway negligent, then it would enter into this machlokus between Tosis and Muki Yosef. He may be negligent, and the Baal Korah is more negligent. Is he going to be chayav because it's damaging as he's moving through the Glila? Correct, then it enters into this machlokus. Then we'll have a discussion, and maybe you're going to say he's potter because he had say Kimli and the machlokus. But here, the Baal HaGlila, the Glila, who with the bearings of the Baal HaKosa, is not like the Baal HaKosa. The Baal HaKosa was negligent. It's not as negligent as the one who put the shots on us. So therefore, there's room to say, if it damages as he's negligent, he's high, even though he's less negligent. But in the case of the Gnila, he's actually honest legam. He's not negligent at all. He's not negligent at all. Then, of course, even in the Muki Yosef would agree that the one who put the shards of glass there, the Balko who actually put his rope over there, he's the one's fired and he's considered the Aish, and he has to attack him. And that's how Rav Yashiv Paskin, that the Balko has to fix it. Okay. Now, so let's get back to our case of the mallet.
Is that Aish?
Yes.
When the person hits the wall and it goes flying out.
Getting back to your point. That's called Aish.
No, but this is how it's different. I was by, you wanted to explain with the whole thing that there was a rock there that caused it to slip. Here, a person. If a person, you know, they have those teams where you put a baseball on the team, the person gets a...
Yeah, but for sure, this case, so you're talking about the Balkur, but Balkur is a Shuaish.
The Balkur, I'm talking about
the Balkur. Yeah. That's also Aish. The Rosh says that's Aish.
Why?
Rosh says that's Aish.
You said that's Aish? Why is that?
Aish.
He hits the wall, and the wall goes flying, and it hits him, and he like...
Because as soon as he's not negligent as much as the other, he's called a wind. That's the Chiddush of the Rosh.
He's
called swords, they're called the winds. Okay,
understand.
So, let's go back to our case of the mallet. Over by the mallet. There we say the chiv of the weight is Aish. Human beings can be Aish. Movement of the lips is the wind. He said everyone's negligent. Just the first two, the last two.
Speak for yourself.
Last two. I am speaking for everybody besides Matis.
Okay.
That the first five were less negligent because they could have left, but less negligent than the two that came in afterwards when they know that they are putting it in the Sokona and they have less rights because they came at the end as we gave Shirim on the concept of Q. Okay. Yeah, so therefore the last two were more negligent, and therefore based on what we just learned, the ones who should be chayiv, if we're discussing the Mazik of Aish, are the ones who are more negligent, and the last two should be chayiv fixing the Mazik.
Except the Ramah said that the Baal Kosel, you have, so here the other five ones that pushed the button.
When they pushed the button, there was nothing.
I know, but that's considered like the Baal Kosel.
No, because when they pushed the button, everything was fine. The Baal Kosel pushed the wall down when there was glass already in there.
Right.
The guy stood last after he pushed
different
it.
Orders.
Yeah. And here, like I want to point out, very good. And here, even the Muki Yosef would agree that the time the button was pressed, as he points out, it's not like breaking the Kosel. There, they pressed it when there was no Aish around. It was five people. And therefore, in fact, it was moved afterwards. It's not because of the
Mishra. Why do you call it onus then?
And therefore, they're negligent for saying that. Negligent for saying that. But they're less negligent than the other two, and therefore they're going to be fine.
But then, if it goes by the most negligent, it should really be the last one. Because
it could be
that six would not have broken it.
Or it could be six would have broken it, and the seventh one's not necessary.
There is a, very good, there's a ksos that says that if two people break and each one says, well, maybe by ourselves we wouldn't break, and therefore you should have a question, each one to say, I'm Potter because maybe by myself I wouldn't have broken, and therefore it's only because of him, and he says the same, and therefore both of them should be Potter for breaking something with a sledgehammer because my car, they make it, maybe it's his car. Says the so it's no such thing. You're called partners. Partners are hired for the joint action.
But that's if they walked on together.
Yes.
What if one walked after the other?
Even if one after the other, I'm willing to argue on you. That really? I will see that next week.
One walked in at 4-2, and the seventh one walked in at 4-3. And then between 4 and 5.
Well, no, that's already... Yeah, that was the last one that came
right.
off.
But if the sign still says 6,
I know, but that still did... But that is indicative that he was not the one that caused the break, or would have broken...
Who knows? Maybe if it would have continued off, it would have also
okay,
broken.
Okay, you're right, who knows? But so there's an indication there.
Okay, let's move on to our third case.
Do you have an answer?
So we discussed the first two cases. The mallet case, we say the last two are equally chayiv to pay for the damage of the lift. They're the Aish, because the others are less negligent. And the Baal Korah is the one who's chayiv to pay for the tikkun of the Torah, because he's the one negligent, and the one who agreed is actually onus, and therefore even the Muki Yosef would agree in such cases. Now we're moving.
Baal Korah, assuming he's
Yes.
You didn't see the spit.
Even then, Rabbi Yashu says if he knows that he spits, therefore he shouldn't really be a Balkur.
But if the show hired him anyway,
yeah. Europa.
I'll move on somebody else to safer terror. Most safer terrors do not belong to the show.
Really?
Safer terror. Yes, because I want to be yours to the mitzvah. So I don't donate it to the show that's yours. I just lend it to the show. Uh-huh. It's still mine. Okay. Now, let's move to the third case. Third case is like this. Bochrim in yeshiva need to dry clean their shirts. They go to the laundromat. They don't all go. They send a shliach, one or two of the bochum go, and they don't have separate loads. They bundle all their clothes in together to save money into one laundry mat machine over there. Okay, so it's been put into the machine, and the owner of the laundry mat turns it on. They don't exactly know how to work it, so they ask him to turn it on, and one of the bochum has forgotten to take out his red pen from his pocket. And of course, things don't come out as white as they should. More like red. Everyone's seeing red. So the question is the bochum the one liable to pay for the damage, or the laundromat guy who put the machine on? Who's chayav to pay? Well, maybe no one's chayav to pay here for the damage which is done to these nice, clean, red shirts.
Well, it sounds like the case of the wall with the glass.
Latest trend in
machine. Okay, so, of course, and we would like to say, as a continuation of what we said, that you know what, let's analyze it. You've got the shards of glass. In our case, what's the shards of glass in this case?
Red pen.
The red pen. So you've got somebody put the shards of glass into his pocket. And then it was the coaster was knocked down, or it was done glila by the fact all the glass, all it was put into the machine, and therefore the one chayef should be
the red pen,
the glass,
the red pen guy, the red pen bocha. He should be. Okay. That I would like to say, but I wouldn't be saying it if I have to say it. So it says, what's not quite the same?
The Bob Curry, he knew what happened. This guy did know what happened.
Was he negligent?
Of course.
He was negligent.
You need to check your pockets.
He was negligent. He was negligent. He wasn't onus. He wasn't onus. He was negligent.
But the laundromat owner is like the Baal HaWall. You know,
no, because the Baal HaWall should have checked. He has no reason to
what,
check.
What do you mean?
He's not doing it. I don't want to check somebody else's laundry.
A laundromat owner knows people make mistakes all the time.
Who puts everything in the machine?
Laundry.
The boys. And they said, Who can turn on the machine? Who couldn't? Says that we don't know how to work the machine. Can you come and turn it on for us? Yeah? You're saying he's next.
You could have asked. Are you sure you guys have your
pocket? No, 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 no.
I don't freaking laundry mats. I'm guessing this happens all the time. Happens all the time in my house. I don't know.
We'll get to your wife in a few weeks. Okay. So, as Eric says, it's not exactly the same, but it's not like he said. There's a tosis, a chiddush and eish tosis is machadish. If you look at tosis and Baba Kama Daf Samach from Adalef number 6, says tosis, I want to tell you a chiddush. The Mishnah says, Liba v'libsarum, if you bellowed on a fire, there was a ready lit fire, and you came along and bellowed it on it to make it rise up. But it wasn't just you, there was also winds which you were blowing, and the wind was blowing at the same time to make the fire into a dangerous item. If you by yourself, your wind by itself didn't need the natural winds. Your bellow by itself could have made it dangerous in your fire. In love, but if to make the fire dangerous, you needed a combination of you blowing and the wind, and your blow by itself wouldn't be good enough. The wind by itself is not good enough. And together, your wind is strong enough to create the fire, it's a dangerous fire, then you're pot. Says Tosis, why? If you don't have the ability to make it dangerous, Even if the wind itself also can't make it dangerous, potter your potter. The lo machai b'shem eish elem kain also kol kap if they atzmo blusia. You're only going to be chai b'shem eish if you collate the dangerous item itself without any other force of wind. All you need is another force to transport it, but you created it being dangerous. You made it dangerous. The wind is just a transport. Then you're chai b'shem eish. You have to make it dangerous by yourself. You make the fire, and all the wind is transporting the dangerous item. Then you're fine. But if it's not dangerous at all, only not by you and not by the wind, only together, then you ask it, did you make it dangerous? No, I made it dangerous together with something else called another force called wind. Then you're released from faith because of Gezeirus HaKosuv. Because of Gezeirus HaKosuv, because Eish, that is not called Droma, which is a Kiddush itself. I would say normally everything is Droma, but we're saying Eish is Chayv only, says the Torah, where you made the whole dangerous item yourself. Because there's a discussion then, what about two human beings together? That's called partnership, you both fight. But if the other item is a wind, another force, then you are released because you didn't make it dangerous. You only made it to get you something else, and therefore a gzeiros hakosuv that you're just a grommer, that you're part in such case, not the category of
Eish. Does it matter what the situation is? Does it matter if you don't realize, or there's the other wind is already there and you can come along and turn what the wind is into a dangerous situation?
Because this discusses your point, but it's not relevant to this case. Maybe the Chazanish agrees to you if there's a wind already there, as before you start, maybe that's different. Now, let's relate it back to the laundromat. Is the pen itself intrinsically a dangerous item when you put it into your shirt pocket?
No.
Your lighting is sheer. And after the shir, the Rosh Hashiva has finished the shir, you put it in your pocket like you always do. As you put it in your pocket, have you made something dangerous?
No.
So how does that pen become dangerous?
When you gave it to the guys take the laundry.
How does that come dangerous?
When you gave it to the guys take the laundry.
No.
With the water.
No.
With the water and the spin.
That's the wind. That's not making it dangerous.
No, it's making it dangerous.
It's dangerous as soon as you give it to the guys to take to the laundry.
Not dangerous.
A fire is not dangerous either without the wind.
He did, at the time of creation of the pen in that place, it was not dangerous at all. It was then naturally moved by a wind, by everyone getting involved, and it came dangerous together with the water and the spin, and it made it dangerous. So therefore, even if you are negligent, but you weren't negligent in creating the ace by yourself, you were negligent in helping the ace get created. But you didn't actually, could never suggest that you actually made the whole ace yourself. It say, then we've got a Gezeirus HaKosuv that says, as soon as you are not the one and the sole one who created the dangerous item, then it's no longer considered ace, it's called Grama. Grama, Bishogeg, is not even Chayv B'Teishama. If it's for Kavana, that's different.
He's doing what it blows on. He's doing what the wind is doing. Is that creating a dangerous thing at all? He's just saying that there's a chatzi wind, he's chatzi wind, there's a chatzi wind, there's two chatzi
wind. He wins, and together they create something dangerous. Together they created something dangerous.
The two winds are moving right now. What I want to say is like this. You take an Ablo Sakino or Masal and you put it on the Rosh Gag, it's not dangerous. It's only dangerous when you have a Ruach that you move it over.
Next week we'll discuss your thing because I disagree. On that, it's not compared to the case. But what the Yisod will come out, I understand. But you say we certainly come out of Tosis. If the creation of the dangerous item is together, then you're released. I want to suggest and so that basis over here, the rock, the style over here was possible. That you, and you did create danger by yourself.
The red ink is the damager. The ink is the damager.
It wasn't dangerous
in a place. It was put in a place. A pen, if the pen was sitting on the roof with the wind Mitsuya.
But it's not sitting on the roof.
I
didn't put it on the roof. I put it in the roof.
You put it in the pocket.
I put it in my pocket.
You put it in the hands of the guy who's taking to launch
right.
That.
Sugar
that's
is also
the roof.
Not dangerous. Sugar in sitting in the wrong sack is not dangerous, but inherently. It's only when the lady puts it in the cake when she meant to put salt. Same thing. You can say every Asian.
No. That's not true.
The danger is
you put
from
the sugar in the sack, which is labeled salt in the pen. And a sack labeled sugar, you made it dangerous.
The danger from it.
It's dangerous now. It just has to be moved.
Mentioned dangerous.
But here, when you put it after the Rosh Hashiva's shirt, you put it in there, there's no way dangerous.
No, but when you take your shirt and you give it to all the boys, that's when you created the danger. You put it in a sack, in a combination of other
where it's inevitable it's going to get there, because the washing machine is the wind.
Eventually.
No, the guy...
Let me add a point. You're also missing a thing over here. Even when it's given over, it's not dangerous.
Why?
It's inevitable it's going to get washed.
It's inevitable that it will be created into danger, but it's not dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It's on the corner of the roof where it's going to fall.
It's not
dangerous to white clothes.
It's on the corner of the roof
only when the water comes.
Not if it doesn't go in the washing machine.
No, but you're
sending it.
I'm sending it to a place where it will be created into a dangerous item. Yes,
100%.
But I haven't actually made it in the dangerous item.
Not even a suffix. It's more.
And why is it not the same as the Evan sucking which you're bothered about? I'll explain next week why it's not the same. With another kiss, I'll explain. And then you'll see why it's not the same. At the moment we came out with your soap. That a person can be an ish, we've learnt from the Ramban. But he says that when there's two people negative, the one who's more negative is going to be chayav. And the third yisod we've learnt is that to be chayav b'shem ish, you have to make it into the danger item, and that now it's already danger, gets transported to somebody else's ish. But if the whole creation was between you and something else, then you are released and not called ish, you're called a glom in that case. Why is it not like Evan, the Sakin, the Rosh Hashanah? This is also the same thing. We'll explain next week, Mr. Shem.
I agree with you.
His blowing is like the wind.
This is a brought down la halacha. Okay, next week we'll explain why it's different.